بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to gather here and brothers and sisters to come together. Whenever the Muslims come together, it's a good thing because we get an opportunity to benefit from each other. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned al-mu'min al-mu'min kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'dahu ba'da fashabbaka bayna asabi'i sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that the Muslims are like unto each other, like the individual bricks in a wall. Each brick strengthens and supports the next. So that strength and that support manifests itself in different ways. Ways that we know and ways that we know not. And when we come together, we benefit from each other's presence. We benefit from each other's states. We benefit from each other's experiences. We benefit from the blessing and the nobility and the honor that Allah has given the believer and the human being. At a basic human level, we are all ennobled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. It mentions in the Quran, we have ennobled the human beings, the human being. Allah ta'ala mentions that there's an izzah, there's honor and authority that he gives to the believers. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That unto Allah is the honor and the messenger and the believers, and it's the hypocrites that realize it not. So a sign of hypocrisy is failing to acknowledge the izzah, the honor that Allah has given generally to the believers. And so it's not to one group or to the exclusion of another group, it's to the believer. And one way that we discard that honor, there are Muslims that they say La ilaha illallah, naturally, that makes them Muslim. Muhammadan Rasulullah, they utter the Shahada. They not only pray, they never miss a prayer, they never sneak past Fajr. They pray Tahajjud. They pray their Taraweeh. They never depart from the Imam until the Imam finishes. However, many rakats he prayed, they pray with the Imam. And then they pray their Shafi'i and their Witr. And they fast not only Ramadan, they fast on Monday and Thursday. They fast the 9 days from the 10 of Dhul-Hijjah, Ashr of Dhul-Hijjah, seeking the blessings during that time. They keep Qiyam all night during the Ashr al-Awakhir in Ramadan, the last 10 days of Ramadan, seeking Laylatul Qadr. They pay their money in zakat. They pay their zakat diligently and faithfully. And then they're at every fundraiser, Islamic Relief, Muslim Aid, the local masjid, the local school, the emergencies that pop up, Somalia, famine, Bosnia, wherever, India, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, they're there. Libya, they're contributing, writing checks. And there are Muslims that discard all of that and declare them to be innovators or kuffar or out of Islam because they disagree with them on some not even secondary point, some tertiary point that has nothing to do with Islam, in the sense that whether you affirm it or reject it has nothing to do with your salvation. And they reject the honor that Allah has given a Muslim of that caliber. This is insanity. This is insanity. And it's no particular group, or it's across the board. It's across the board from all spectrums of Muslims. We have to understand and affirm the basic nobility Allah has given to the human being and the honor that Allah Ta'ala has conferred on the believer. And the implications of hypocrisy for rejecting it. Allah Ta'ala says, not me. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That's Allah. That's not me. It's the hypocrites who don't know that. And Mu'min, the Prophet, some of us reject the fundamental definition of a Muslim. And we have what we call ta'arif, and you have developed definitions of things. You have a ta'arifat, Imam al-Jurjani. He's written an entire book on the definitions of things. Imam Munawi has a book in this regard. But the most fundamental definition, so, and we could dispute those things. This scholar says this is how you define this. This scholar says this is how you define it. The most fundamental definition that none of us can dispute is the definition given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet defines the Muslim. And Muslim, من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. The Muslim is the one, the other Muslims are safe from their tongue and their hand. That's the Prophet's definition of the Muslim. Al-Muslim, man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadihi. The Muslim is the one, the other Muslims are safe from their tongue and their hand. We have Muslims, their tongue never tires of slandering other Muslims. It never tires. So again, we have an interpretive concept, how we understand scripture and how we understand prophetic utterances. It's called al-mafhum al-mukhalafa. So the opposite, what's implied to be in opposition to what's stated, because a lot of things aren't stated. So mafhum al-mukhalafa, if the Prophet ﷺ said, al-muslim man salim al-muslimun min lisanihi wa yadihi, the one the Muslims aren't safe from their tongue or their hand, what does that make them? By implying the opposite implication. Don't say it, but think about it. So, inshallah, there's many things we can talk about. I think consistent with this introduction, we'll talk about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which lays down the fundamental principles of brotherhood or sisterhood between the believers. So this hadith related by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu and an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله أخوانا. المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يكذبه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره بحسب من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم كل المسلم على المسلم حرام ماله ودامه وعرضه صلى رواه المسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is related by Abu Huraira saying, don't envy one another, don't conspire against one another, literally don't raise the prices against each other with no intention to buy the thing, just intending to hurt the buyer or to hurt the seller. But generally don't conspire against each other, don't hate one another, don't turn your backs to one another, don't enter into a transaction once your brother has entered into it. Be you servants of Allah, brothers, and servants of Allah, sisters. The Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. He neither oppresses him, nor lies to him, nor abandons or forsakes him, nor does he look down on or despise him. Every Muslim is sacred to their fellow Muslim, their life, their property, and their honor, related by Imam Muslim. So this hadith provides the groundwork for a healthy, functioning brotherhood and healthy, functioning sisterhood amongst the believers. So the first thing he mentions is don't envy one another. That hasidu. So don't envy one another. The envy is called the disease of the nations. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned dabba ilaykum da'ul umam al-baghda'u wal-hasad, that the disease of the nations will creep up on you. So it won't come suddenly, just gradually. It will creep up on you. And what is that? He mentioned hatred and jealousy. Al-baghda'u wal-hasad. That these things will creep up on you. And many people say usually the order indicates significance. So the first thing mentioned is jealousy. And then the last thing mentioned is spite. And so what is the relationship between those? Jealousy is the way of shaitan, the way of Iblis. He envied Adam alayhi salam because Adam had been given this great honor. And the angels were told to prostrate to Adam. And those in the presence of the angel, Iblis was a jinn, kana min al-jinn, fafasaqa an amr rabbih. He was from the jinn and he rejected the command of his Lord. And he refused. And Allah Ta'ala asked, why did you refuse? مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتُهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. Why did you not prostrate when I ordered you to do so? He said, I'm better than him. You created me from fire while you created him from clay. So we'll come back to that. But he envied him. Adam gets this. Why does Adam get this honor when it should be conferred on me? And this satanic mentality can overwhelm a believer. And like we said, it creeps up. You know, why do they have a big following? And we don't. Everyone, I should fill up the arena. Not that person. That person's not a real sheikh. He's a fake. He's not a sheikh. You know, why are people following him? You know, and they start getting jealous. You know? And wishing. And so what the real danger of envy is, it comes from the fact that a blessing Allah desires has given us, we don't give thanks for, we reject it. And reject, the fundamental level of rejection is not giving thanks. That's the basic level. So Allah Ta'ala mentions in Quran, سَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Remember me, I will remember you. وَاشْكُرُونِي, yani give thanks for my blessing. You can put in parentheses, وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ, it's not faith here. And don't reject my blessings by failing to give thanks for them. So that's not being appreciative of a blessing. And how do we appreciate a blessing? We share it. That's how you appreciate it. The scholars say, الشكر من جنس النعمة, that how we express thankfulness is categorical to the blessing that we've received. And this is illustrated when the Prophet is reminded, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the Quran, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. So we found you an orphan and we gave you shelter. And we found you not knowing the details of the religion. So we shouldn't translate this, we found you astray. That doesn't make sense. The Prophet ﷺ was in Mecca. He grew up in the city. He knew all of its nooks and crannies and alleys and hiding places. He knew the city like the back of his hand. So he wasn't astray and lost. And he wasn't astray in the sense that he was living a life without guidance, but he didn't know the details of the scripture because they hadn't been revealed to him. And he didn't know the details and the particulars of faith because they hadn't been revealed. And Allah Ta'ala mentions in another verse, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You didn't know the details of the scripture and you didn't know the particulars of faith. And Allah Ta'ala says, we gave you that. فَهَدَى. We guided that you to that. وَوَجَدَكَ عَئِنًا فَأَغْنَى. And we found you impoverished and we enriched you. And so then what is he told? These are the things we've done for you. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. You are an orphan, don't you treat the orphan harshly. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. You were poor and we enriched you, so if someone comes to you asking and seeking to have their needs met, then you meet their need. Don't push them away. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And proclaim these teachings that we've guided you to the people. So the thanks for what we've given you is by sharing those with people. And so rejecting a blessing is not sharing it. A lot of us have the blessing of Islam. We don't share it with people. Or we don't respect the guidance Allah might give them. And so we negate that blessing. So if refusing to share the blessing is a rejection of it, what about desiring it? That's with yourself. Like bukhl, they say you're stingy with your own money. One definition. Well, shush, you're stingy with other people's money. Why'd you write that check, brother? It's not even your money. You're obsessing, sweating, anxiety attack. Man, why are you giving them $10,000? You know? And you know it's going for a worthy cause still, man. You might lose your job. You're stingy with other people's money. So that's even worse. That's even worse than being stingy with your own money. You're upset because someone else is spending their money. And so it's one thing not to be thankful for your blessing. You want a blessing Allah gave someone else to be taken away. That's jealousy. You want their blessing taken away. Why he got that car, man? Brother need to have an accident. Got that car, man. What that brother doing with that sister? She need to divorce her. Marry a brother like me. So she know you, that's why she didn't marry you. God, she heard it through the grapevine. Sister, whatever you do, don't marry that person. You've been married 5 times. Each wife left for a different reason. They didn't leave for the same reason. You got 5 characteristics that repulse people. But he wanted the brother, the sister to divorce them. Instead of like, may they have a happy marriage, many righteous children, may she be a comfort to him, assist him on the road to Jannah. He's like, man, he needs to divorce her. The sister should be with a brother like me. Man, get a job. She might think about it. La ilaha illallah. But you want someone else's blessing taken away. And the danger in that, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ. When your Lord proclaimed, if you give thanks for my blessings, I will increase you in those blessings. وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And if you reject those blessings, you should know that my punishment is severe. So when jealousy, that's why it's the disease of the nations. It destroys nations. It destroys individuals. It eats up good deeds like a fire consumes dry wood. And it destroys a nation. Because why? It invites Allah Ta'ala's wrath upon a nation. وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If you reject my blessing, you should know that my punishment is severe. And a lot of times we look at what's happening in the Muslim world, we do strategic analysis and geopolitical analysis and do every analysis, but an Islamic analysis. And we look at the nation, jealousy is widespread. People can't even bring new furniture in the house in the daytime. Neighbors be looking at them, casting the evil eye on them. That's to sneak it in at night on the DL. Hide the television. Hide the television. Don't put a thing over it. People don't know they got a flat screen. Oh, don't tell anybody. They'll bring the iron on us. Bring the evil eye on us. And the whole society is like that. Sisters don't give compliments to each other. That's a nice dress, sister. She thinks she looks so good. Seriously, you go visit, like, man, they never compliment each other. My wife be going crazy, like, complimenting people, looking at her in shock. That's a nice dress, sister. Oh, thanks. I have to think for me. How should I respond? A compliment. Messed up. Messed the sister up. This is a nice dress, sister. The messed up. For a week, she's discombobulated. Like, what happened? The sister gave me a compliment. La ilaha illallah. La tahasadu. This is the way of Iblis. Don't raise the prices, literally. So Najash, you someone comes, I give you $30 for your used phone, 30 pounds. Someone comes, no, I give you 50. I only have 35, I'll give you 35. No, I'll give you 50. Okay, yeah, I guess he's going to get it. Then he leaves, and I changed my mind. He just wanted to hurt that brother. He raised the price so the brother couldn't benefit from the phone. Or he wanted to hurt the seller. So the customer goes, well, I only got 35, he got 50, so give it to him. Yeah, I'm out. I changed my mind. Now I say, I'll keep my old phone. He just wanted to hurt the seller. That's najish. You see, that's foul. That's what it means specifically, but generally, don't conspire against your brother in any way. Don't conspire against your brother in any way, whatsoever. Because it's not conducive to good relations. It's not conducive to good relations. And we're supposed to be striving always for good relations. It undermines the love. There has to be love. You remember, some of you remember a time when believers had love. Man, you said, La ilaha illallah. You came around the Muslims, there was love. You came around the community, around the Jama'ah, it's warm. There's warmth, there's love. Then that love was replaced by hatred, bitterness, enmity. And you're like, man, what's going on? Shaitan is going on. That's what's going on. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, or the Messenger of Allah said, Masalul Mu'minina, the parable, the likeness of the believers, fi tawaddihim, and their mutual love. Wa tarahumihim, their mutual mercy, wa ta'atufihim, the mutual affection for each other, methulul jasad, it's like a single body. Because love and mercy and mutual affection brings us together. It's like a body. Like you can't cut off your hand just because it has a little cut. The whole way, إِذَا اشْتَكَ مِنْهُ عُدْوٌ. So if your hand complains, any or part of the body complains of an injury, تَدَعَ سَعُرُ الْجَسَدِ فِي السَّحَرُ وَالْحُمَّةِ. The whole body responds with fever and sleeplessness. And there was a time we had that kind of unity. Especially converts. This is the new convert project or something. Converts, you're a convert, you didn't care about nonsense that, okay, these guys, they with that shape, these guys with that shape. But someone called up, man, someone, this Muslim got jumped across town, man, these kuffar rolled up on him. You're like, man, I'm over there. Now it's like, well, who's he down with? He's down with us, man. The Jama'at. You're not Tariqa? Nah, he's down with the Salafis, man. All right, man, good. Did they kill him? Nah, he broke it up pretty badly. Oh man, stop for a lot. SubhanAllah. What's happening? It's true, man. Mu'mineen, the believers, that's general. Al Mu'mineen, you feel al umum, al tarif, the believers. And their mutual love, their mutual mercy, their mutual affection is like a body. If some part complains of injury, the whole body responds with fever and sleepiness. Not just the foot. The foot, the whole body responds. People be messed up. And Allah Ta'ala give us that unity. Fundamental level, at a certain level, we mentioned it the other night, at a certain level we have to be united. That's the level of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the level of five prayers, fasting Ramadan, 2.5% of the wealth of the liquid assets for zakat. That brings a lot of people together. After that we could differ. But at that level, we're united. After that, these brothers, they want to have their molit, let them have their molit. These brothers don't want to have their molit, let them not have their molit. But at the level of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, five prayers, 2.5% of zakat, Hajj and Dhul Hijjah, There has to be a fundamental level of unity, because that's the level we can come together to do big things. We can't do in our individual jamaats and groups, and we can't do it. And we need big things. The Muslims are under attack at every conceivable level. There's psychological warfare, there's actual warfare in some parts of the ummah. There's all these efforts to divide, confuse. We have to be together. There's propaganda being spewed out by people with millions of pounds behind them. So we have millions of pounds behind us. If we bring it all together, then we can have our own publishing houses. We can refute their literature. We have scholars who are on retainer. That's all they do, is research these attacks on Islam and produce credible literature to refute it. We have our own satellite channel, 24/7, high quality. Not just patchwork, and we're raising money for it after Jumaya brothers give dinner, so we can broadcast this week. We have an endowment. We got an endowment because we got millions of Muslims behind us, and they're paying in regularly. We don't have to fundraise after Juma. We just write checks, like how much they need. We write the check. Then we give a little extra, you know, it'll probably be cost overruns. We need £5 million to expand the service. Here's £7 million, in case there's some cost overruns. We can have it like that, but not if we're all divided, fragmented, and everyone has their little fiefdom. No, serfdom was overturned a long time ago. It's like Muslims are trying to revive it. You know, everyone have their little fiefdom. And every lord has his serfs.
Gang.
Yeah, Allah have mercy on us. But it says they don't conspire against each other. They don't hate. وَلَا تَبَغَبُوا. They don't hate one another. When the jealousy comes, you start conspiring against each other, then the hatred comes. And the hatred is clear. No, Muslims become so divided and fragmented, they'll join non-Muslims against their Muslim brothers and sisters. They're just to get back at them. And so when we see the consequences of that, it's clear. We don't have to even mention any examples of it. But don't hate. We mentioned this is the disease of the nations. The baghdad and hasad. Hatred and jealousy. It destroys the nation. Allah wants love. Who wants hatred? Shaitan. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. That's shaitan. يُقِي بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ. He's the one that puts and generates an enmity and hatred between you. Shaitan. Allah wants love. Shaitan wants hatred. Who are we going to follow? We all have to make those decisions. Who are we going to follow? Shaitan, we're going to follow the Messenger of Allah and Allah Ta'ala. They want love. The Prophet ﷺ, Ummati, Ummati. He's crying for his Ummah. He's crying for his Ummah. That's broad. Because he loved the Ummah. He loved the Ummah. He shed tears for the Ummah. He sacrificed for the Ummah. He paved the way for the unity of the Ummah. And these are the kinds of teachings that he encouraged us with, so that can become a reality in our lives and in our communities. And he warned us against hatred. وَلَا تَبَاغَبُوا. Don't hate one another. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. And don't turn your backs to each other. And we all know تَدَابَرُوا, don't boycott and blockade each other more than 3 days. But there's a deeper meaning. So Allah Ta'ala, He reminds us this brotherhood, the sisterhood between the believers, this is a blessing from Allah. This is one of Allah's graces. And to emphasize it, He repeats it twice in the same hadith. وَذْكُرُوا وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast to the rope that Allah extends to you, and don't be divided amongst yourself. That rope is the Qur'an. The Qur'an. All of us acknowledge it. All of us have our Qur'ans at home. All of us share the same translations. All of us acknowledge the same Qur'an. That's the rope. That's what we hold to. Then we can't unite. We can't disunite if we hold to that. Because none of us can say, well, I hold to the South Asian Quran, but I hold to the British Quran. No, it's one Quran. From Fatiha to Nas. وَعْقَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. And remember the favor of Allah upon you. So this is the first mention. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the favor of Allah. Which means what? We have to remind ourselves because we forget. When Allahumma salli Rasulillah, Zubayr was marching against Imam Ali in Ma'rakat al-Jamal at the Battle of the Camel. When he met Imam Ali, the Prophet ﷺ had told him, one day you're going to fight Imam Ali. And Imam Ali said to Zubair, you remember what the Prophet said to you? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, he was shaking. He said, oh my God. And he fled from the battlefield. He forgot. We become ghafil. We forget. And Allah's reminder, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the blessing of Allah upon you. Because shaitan will come and make us forget. And what was that blessing? إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ. And he repeats again, بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانَ. So you were enemies. And he put love and harmony, sociability between your hearts. And you became, by his permission, you became brothers. By his blessing, rather. So نِعْمَةَ وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانَ وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةً مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. And you are the pit of the brink of fire, and he saved you from it. We were enemies. People before Islam, they were Bloods and Crips, or whatever the United Kingdom version is. They were black and white. They were black nationalists and skinheads and Aryan nation. They were Norteños and Sorleños and Latin kings. You were enemies. فَانْقَذُكُمْ مِنْهَا فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. And then Allah brought Islam. And he brought love between the hearts. And brotherhood and sisterhood between the hearts. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِي أَخْوَانَا. And you became by his brothers, by his leave and his permission, brothers and sisters. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ. And you on the pit of the brink of fire. Some of us were standing on the pit of ruin. Alcoholism, drug addiction, this addiction, that addiction, this problem, that problem. And he saved you from it. And Allah saved us from it. And we forget all of that and go back to being enemies on the flimsiest pretexts. We were enemies, he saved us, made us brothers, we forget it, and then we're brothers and we become enemies even though we're brothers. And we forget how Allah saved us. We forget what Allah did for us. We forget the favor of Allah because we shayateen. The shayateen jinn and the shayateen ints. There's human shaitans. They come and they put the hatred in the heart and the jealousy in the heart and the enmity in the heart. And then we become enemies. After Allah saved us by his grace and made us brothers. And so he says, remember, don't forget. Because we, and they say, al-insanu summiya al-insana li-annahu yansa. That the human is called insan because he forgets. From nasiya, nasiya, the noon and the seen is in all of it. Al-insanu summiya al-insana li-annahu yansa. The human is called human because he forgets. And so we forget. And when we forget, the blessings go. So we have to remind ourselves, you know, when some shaitan comes up to us, you know, why are you hanging out with those brothers? my Muslim brothers. We live next door to each other. They got the wrong figure. They're on the wrong minhaj. They're in the wrong tariqah. They're still Muslims. Allah says, they're my brothers. I'm telling you, they're your enemies, brother. I'm your brother. And start like sorting it out. Wow. Allah saying this and you saying that. The Prophet saying this and you saying that. Now don't, when you come in Islam, don't abandon your intellect. Like, sisters, don't abandon your intellect. Allah gave you a nice, good, sharp brain. And you like, man, this brother don't have a job. He already been divorced 3 times. Two of his ex-wives end up in the hospital. Maybe it's not a good idea to marry him. So he just threw all the intellect away. Because the brother recited a few ayats. He had good testimony. No, keep your intellect. Protect yourself. Don't throw your intellect away. Just think through things like, Like this brother been the imam in 10 communities. And they all chased him out for the same reason.
We know that.
Maybe we should reflect.
Wow.
Before we, you know, open the doors. Seriously, don't abandon your intellect. Keep your eyes open. You know, keep the radar on. If you see a big old beep, you're like, maybe it's a sparrow. Maybe it's a blimp coming right at you, filled with hydrogen, and you burning candles. Don't abandon your intellect. So Allah says, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَذْكُرُوا, remember the blessings Allah gave you. Man, we were drug addicts. We were on the verge of having mental breakdowns, alcoholics. We were, people were torn, didn't, confused. The Jehovah Witnesses pulling, the Pentecostals are pulling, the Anglicans, the Catholics, the Episcopalians, the Presbyterians. We were torn. And Allah saved us from all that. That's something, never forget those blessings. Because when you remember, you're not going to be torn again. It's like, you know, say, hey, wait a minute, I took shahada to get away from that nonsense. I'm not going for it in Islam. Not me. I feel good as a Muslim. You're trying to mess me up. I was messed up once. I'm like, amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You're trying to tell me to close my eyes and start wandering in the wilderness. And I've been there, done that. I'm not going back there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, not me. See, amazing grace. It might remind you. Allah said His grace. Remember the grace of Allah upon you. If kuntum a'da'an, you were enemies. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ, He put your hearts together. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَةِ أَخْوَانَ, you became by His grace, brothers. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ, you on the pit of the brink of the fire. فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. Subhanallah. Say, nah, that's grace. They go to masjid, but amazing grace. Sing that song. How sweet is the song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. was blind, but now I see. But Allah said, remember, we forget, brothers and sisters, Islam has done so much for us. SubhanAllah. So when we turn our backs, we not only break relations, Allah has made us upright. He's made us upright. No other animals upright all the time. They might get up for a minute. And the apes, they're at an angle. They're not upright. They're walking. They're like that. They're not like that. They get up sometimes, but He's made us upright. And by making us upright, this is how the ta'lif took place between the hearts. Our hearts are facing each other when we come together. We bring our hearts together. And when we turn our backs on each other, we turn our hearts away from each other. That's the reality. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. Don't turn your hearts away from each other. وَلَا يَبِعِ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْءِ بَعْضٍ. And don't enter into a transaction after your brother has entered into it. Why? Because you're going to hurt him. You're going to hurt her. She's going to hurt you. And that undermines the love. The love has to be maintained, it has to be preserved. You know, some of us, we do marriage counseling, couple comes. You know, what's wrong? Don't you guys love each other? We love each other, but we fighting all the time. We just don't feel it. When we first got married, everything was so sweet and peaches and cream. And so, well, what's happening? Now all we do is argue and fight, and we just at each other's throats. And they say, well, when's the last time you took a walk in the park? 2 weeks after we got married? When's the last time you just went out to dinner and just sat across the table over candlelight and just said, Alhamdulillah, so glad I met you. Oh, that was like 1 week after we got married. When the last time you had a nice, friendly little wrestling match? A playful one. Brother, when's the last time you tickled your wife's feet? Oh, man, that was like the day after we got married. So, man, 3 years, 3 years, you haven't taken a walk together. 3 years, you haven't gone out to dinner. 3 years, you haven't just had a friendly little wrestling match. 3 years, no wonder you got problems. Like, the love has to be sustained. It has to be maintained. You have to work at it. And the same thing in Islam, the love between the believers. We have to work at it. We have to invest in it. We have to come together. When the last time we had one of those nice community picnics before this sheikh came to town and got us all arguing with each other? When's the last? Now, I'm just using it. I'm just from my own experience. I don't know what's going on in Sheffield. I don't know, but you know what I'm saying? You know, when we had those nice community picnics and brothers kicking the soccer ball over here and sisters over here just relaxing, watching the children romp and stomp, and everyone coming together for that nice dinner. Everyone baked a little something, cooked a little something, fried up some halal chicken, and just, well, you know, when's the last time we had the picnic? When's the last time we all got together and just, you know, we all united in the big stadium, got all the communities together? You know, when, you know, we have to work. You have to maintain the love. It has to be sustained. It has to be maintained. And so things that undermine it, entering the transaction, you come and propose after this sister accepted this brother's proposal, and now he hates you, and, you know, those are the things that erode the love. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, don't do those things that erode the love. Because why? The love, you have to work to maintain it. Some of us work full time trying to erode it and do nothing to sustain it. Be servants of Allah, brothers. And the order is important. If we're servants of Allah, we'll be brothers, because there's nothing in the religion and the teachings of the religion that undermine the brotherhood. The brotherhood is undermined, the sisterhood is undermined from outside influences that come in. Just as there was in Medina, person Shas bin Qais, who was from the Jewish community. He saw the Qaw, the Aus and the Khazraj, they're getting along so well. And he came and started, you remember how these guys used to be? When Muhammad came to town, remember how they used to disrespect you? Remember that time they killed one of your tribe's people and didn't even want to pay the blood with? And yeah, we remember. And then they started bickering with each other. That's when those verses were revealed. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ. How can you ever reject faith when the verses are being revealed right in front of your faith and the messenger is in your midst? But they forgot because of some outsider coming in and stimulating them against each other. And then they forgot. And then Allah told them, remember the favor of Allah upon you, how you were enemies. That was the occasion for the revelation. So, if we're servants of Allah, we'll be brothers. 5 minutes, we're about to go, inshallah. 6.5 is good?
6.5 is good.
Inshallah. So, and then he says, Al-Muslim akhul Muslim. The Muslim is the brother of their fellow Muslim. This is the proclamation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the proclamation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. That's the proclamation of Allah. You became brothers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. The believers are none other than brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So reform relations between your contending brothers. This is a part of our religion, to reform relations, not tear the relations apart. People reform relations, now we're so much apart. I said, brother, what were you doing over there? And I'm trying to just bring the brothers together. Astaghfirullah. Why, we don't want to be together with them. They're Muslims, you're Muslim. They'll attack the people. The person starts going. He's supposed to be a Sufi. He's hanging out with Salafis, trying to get the brothers common venue. Let's all have a picnic together. Brother, you're hanging out with those Wahhabis. You know that. Or vice versa, you with those Sufis, two O's, like big Sufis. Don't you know that deviance?
Astaghfirullah.
No, I'm just trying to do some Marvin Gaye, trying to find a way to bring some understanding in here today. And then the brother become an outcast. Astaghfirullah, man. The brother hang out with the deviants. That means he's pleased with their deviance, and that makes him a deviant. Brother,
it's true, man.
Alhamdulillah. The Muslim, akhul Muslim. This is Allah saying that. The Prophet saying that. Al-Muslim, akhul Muslim. He didn't say the specifics. Al-Muslim, akhul Muslim. The Muslim is the brother of the fellow Muslim. لا يظلمه, doesn't oppress him. ولا يكذبه, doesn't lie to him. ولا يقضله, he doesn't abandon and forsake him. ولا يحكره, and he doesn't look down on him and despise him. This is what he repeats in the hadith. بحسب امر من الشر أن يحكر أخاه المسلم. It's sufficient evil for a person to despise their fellow Muslim. And we said, he started with the hasad, this is a satanic characteristic, and ihtiqar is satanic, as we said, I'm better than him. So all of the people who are saying, this one's no good, this one's a deviant, this one's a Wahhabi, this one's a Sufi, this one's a Brelvi, this one's a Diobandi, all they're saying is, I'm better than him. That's the basis for, and so it's just adopting this satanic mentality. And خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارَ خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تَيْنِ. You خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ بْرَلْوِيَ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ دِيُوبَنْدِيَ. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنَ السَّلَفِيَ خَلَقْتَهُ مِنَ السُّوفِيَ. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنَ الشَّاذِلِيَ خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ نَقْشِبَنْدِيَ. خَلَقْتَنِي, I'm better. So assume everyone's better than you. The pot, and then Allah will elevate you, and you stop after trying to elevate yourself and impose your superiority on the believers. If you better, the believers will recognize it. You don't need to advertise. You don't need to put the other people down. We're not stupid. We can see virtue, recognize virtue. You don't have to impose it on us. We'll see it and recognize it. And Muslim, akhu Muslim. Be is sufficient evil. You don't have to do anything else. Bihasbiblin min ash-shar. It's sufficient evil for a person and yahkira akahu Muslim. Why? Because Allah gave him nobility, you want to take it away. Allah gave him honor, you want to take it away. Allah made him your brother, you want to negate the brotherhood. How much evil is it after that? After you reject what Allah has established. What's below that? There's no nothing below that. بِحَسْبِمْرِ مِنَ الشَّارَنْ يَحْتِرَى قَالُ الْمُسْلِمِ خُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامِ. Every Muslim is haram to their fellow Muslim. So when you backbite, slander, undermine your fellow Muslim, go out and eat a bacon triple-decker swine whopper. Because just as haram as that, then wash it down with some Seguin 7 or Chevis Regal, you know, do it right. You know, go wash down your triple bacon, double-decker whopper with some Seguin, some Chevis Regal. Because that's how haram it is. Kullu Muslim ala Muslim haram. Every Muslim haram to his fellow Muslim. Damuhu wa maluhu wa irdu. His life, property, and honor. His life, his property, his honor. La ilaha illallah. And give the Muslim enough honor to at least go talk to the person. We were at a program recently. May Allah protect the brothers. And the sheikh, may Allah protect the sheikh. He said, you know, I won't even say it. Somebody might know these people.
No, go ahead.
No, I'll make a hypothetical example. Like, there are people, they tell you, they'll tell you, don't listen to these people. Don't sit with them. They say, have you ever talked to the person? Have you ever asked for clarification concerning these issues you differ with? Have you ever listened to anything they said? No, but I heard. It's sufficient for a person to be declared a liar that they pass on everything they hear. Mm-mm. That's from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, I heard. Oh, really? Astaghfirullah. Man, let me text all the brothers. You didn't try to clarify anything. Then when you saw the brother, he was all nice and sweet, silently converted. Bro, give me a kiss, brother. No, I'm not that way. I just love you, brother. Don't worry about that text I just sent. No. I'm just covering myself. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Kullu muslim ala muslim haram, damuhu wa maluhu irdu. So we have a responsibility to protect that sanctity. The life, the property, the honor. The life, the property, the honor. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.
Amen.
And may Allah Ta'ala bless us to be a source of strength for each other.
Amen.
May we be the strong brick in the wall.
Amen.
May Allah bless us to strengthen ourselves. Al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun habrullah min al-mu'min al-ba'if wa fi kulli al-khayr. The strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, and each there's good. There's good in all. We want to be strong believers. We want to be strong believers so we could be a strong brick so we can help each other. We want to, may Allah make us the people of servitude. Believe me, when you're serving and you're working, you don't have time for nonsense. You don't have time. You know, you just, there's no time. I don't want to hear that. You don't have energy, man. I got a job to do. I got work to do. I don't have time for that. There's work to be done. Look at all the work to be done. Look at people around us. People are suffering. People are hurting. people losing their jobs, people don't know where they're going, they don't know what their future is going to be. Allah's given us clarity. Allah's laid it out. He's guided us to this path. He's blessed us with these teachings. He's given us inner peace. People are torn. That's why they're turning to the alcohol, the drugs, sexual addiction, pornography, all these things. People searching. They're torn. They're tormented. They're tortured. And we can't offer them anything. I always say, alhamdulillah, I'll stop here. That a lot of the people now, it's like, they want to kill their neighbors. Neighbors always, hello, you know, how you doing? They want to kill their neighbors. Like, why? Just because they're kuffar. Kuffar. I said, alhamdulillah, that the Muslims I met before I took Shahada didn't have that attitude. I might not be here today. They said, one of them kuffar. And I seen them, they making faces at me because they looking at this lost soul. And look at that kafir. I don't even use kafir, like the singular becomes kufar. Look at that kufar. Like multiply the verb, like rub it in, like kufar. Brother, you're kufar. Man, what do I do?
One person.
Rub it in, you're kufar. Alhamdulillah, someone said, you know, that person needs to be helped. Maybe they could benefit from the teachings of Islam. You'd be surprised how many people out there can benefit. And so instead of like that kuffar, they're like, that's a potential Muslim.
Yeah.
Brothers, you were driving here, one brother like his mother's going to hell. My mother's going to hell. He just consigned himself to hell. Your mother takes Shahada later in her life. Now she's a believer. You say she's a kuffar going to hell. It's true for one of you. It's not true for her anymore. You don't know the hukum of people. You don't know the ruling. You don't even know where you're going to be next month. You're in the masjid today. You might be in the pub next month. You got niqab on today. You might have a mini skirt on tomorrow. It happens. It happens. Doesn't it happen? It happens. Thank Allah you're a believer and keep on trucking and try to help as many people as you can to receive the blessings and the grace that Allah has given to you. And we apologize, we got a little off the hook a little bit. May Allah forgive us. If we said anything in those moments of that's inappropriate, please forgive us. If anything's is beneficial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah bless all the brothers and sisters. May Allah Ta'ala bless us to construct a healthy, wholesome environment that's welcoming to people. Amen. That people, they take Shahada just to be around us. As opposed to they'll run away from Islam just to be away from us. Like those are Muslims, I went around them, looking at me funny, snapping at me. And be welcoming. Because when you welcome, you never know. I'll tell you a story. This is a true story. My wife can bear witness. We used to have public lessons in the park. So anyone could walk up and join. So a sister, she started attending. Then a couple weeks, came hijab on. And, you know, then we pray. Sister's just like, get at the end of the line. Just do what everyone else does. And then one week, one of the sisters, I came at the sister like, you're not a Muslim, you can't pray with us, you know. And that's never saw the sister again. Never saw the sister again. You know, we have to create welcoming spaces where people are comfortable, where we see a person as potentially good and potentially better than us. Which is good, it's for the glory of Islam. We don't want Islam, we're the best people in Islam, then Islam's in deep trouble. Seriously, we know what we're not doing. We know what we're not doing. Maybe some people will come in and do stuff. Our pastor has mentioned. And that's who Ma'adin, can Ma'adin al-Dhahbi wa al-Sibba. People are like loads of ores, like veins of gold and silver in the earth. They vary in their purity. فَخِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَةِ خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقَهُ. The best of them before Islam will be the best in Islam if they get a sound understanding of the religion. So some of these people running the world, calling the shots, you know, organizing and orchestrating things, making it tick, may they come into Islam for the greater glory of Islam. Why pray that they stay out? Then why? Because they'll be a threat to us, mashallah. May we be threatened. It's good for our ego. It's good for our nafs. It help us to grow a little bit. You know, it's good to be stimulated and pushed. May Allah Ta'ala bless us all. Sister coming to Islam, I have a PhD in nuclear physics. Tell the sister, you know, don't open your mouth, don't say nothing. Why? She'll threaten me. You're like, I'm the imam and I flunked out of junior high school, middle school. Sister like thinks she know everything. Before you know it, she wanna be the imam up in here. Silence that sister. So you better benefit from her. Shoot, let her take over the administration. Things will start flowing smoothly. You can't even get the trash out of the master. Open the door. Open the door, Masjid Funk greet you. And you gotta get psyched up to go into the Masjid. You can do this. You can do this. And let the sisters take over. The Masjid be clean, man. Little flowers on top of things, smelling good. Yes, indeed. So unleash that talent. The young people, young brother, this head of the young youth of Britain, running 10 campus organizations. Brother, take shahada. Like, brother, you sit in the back. You need seasoning. And don't say nothing. People might start thinking you qualified to be the imam before we know it. You unleash that talent. I'd love to go learn how to play golf. Take a break. Let the young people take over. Let the sisters make their contributions. This is Islam. I know, I'm over the time, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, it's not okay. I got to be there in London, and you saying it's okay? But in conclusion, this is my parting nasiha. I know some people get mad, but Allah's given us a unique opportunity in these Western lands. He's given us the opportunity to do things based on the potential that's inherent in our community. We have talented brothers and sisters. We have talented young people. We have universal education. Everyone's educated. No one's illiterate. Most of the brothers and sisters have university, either degrees or they're currently attending or have attended university. We have ethnic and racial diversity. You have to go to Mecca to find the kind of diversity in our communities. There's a lot of, we have the energy and the vision of the converts in many issue instances, and the people who support the converts and see that potential. And you have people that come from the Muslim world and they see that and they're not comfortable with it because they don't have it where they're from. And they will impose all of the divisions, all of the sectarianism. It will destroy that potential. And our potential will be reduced to their potential. And their potential, secularists running the show, calling the shot. America could walk up in there, just tear the joint apart. And you can't get critical mass to stop it. This one's against that one. That will be our potential. So don't compromise and sacrifice your potential for no one. They say, well, you make a mess of things. Say, it's our mess to make. You made your mess. Why you want to make two messes? Yours and ours. Let us have a chance to make one mess. It's our mess to make. Don't give it up for anybody. Hold on to that potential because maybe it won't be a mess. Maybe it'll be something beautiful. Maybe it'll be something unique. May it be something that becomes a model and an example for Muslims in the Muslim world. That's the potential that we have. May Allah bless us to cultivate that potential, to nurture that potential, to bless it, to grow, and that Allah Ta'ala protects it. And He protects all of the people working hard. Allah bless all those Muslims who've been through trials and tribulations and experienced some of the things we alluded to. May Allah keep your faith strong. This is the dunya. This is the abode of trials and tribulations. And once we know that, it becomes easy. Imam Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Man arafa dunya hanat alayhi al-musibat." The one who knows the nature of this world, calamities become easy to deal with. So this is the abode of calamities. And those who patiently persevere are promised an unlimited reward. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The patient people will be given their reward with no limitations. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.